between 85 and 88. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 65 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this beautiful Monday, September 8th, 2025. It's gorgeous outside, man. It's absolutely, this is, again, one of those mornings where you wake up and you go outside and you get a blast of fall. Now, it probably won't hold, but, again, it's so nice. Man, I just wish we could, string some days together with, man, I love temperatures that are cool in this time of the year. You know, it'd be so great to get a good dose of this before September's over, but we've had a little bit of it, and it's just September the 8th, so maybe we'll get a real fall this year. But it is absolutely gorgeous outside. Good morning, everybody. Welcome in to the Gary Harris Show. I'm Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield alongside, manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904, and we got a great show on tap for you today that I'm going to run down for you in just a second. Of course, we'll get into the Alabama game, which I'm going to go ahead and pat myself on the back here a little bit. I was one of the few people that picked a blowout. I picked it 55-6. Felt confident that in that game, Alabama would do exactly what it did, even more so. We'll get into some of the history that was made in that game in just a little bit. But before we do anything else, let's go ahead and let's tell you, this hour of the Gary Harris Show is brought to you by my good friends at Alabama Credit Union. Speaking of my good friend Steve Swoffer, the CEO, I had dinner with Steve early evening out at Billy's in Northport, and probably right around after 5. And, I got to visit with him and, you know, all the great things they got going on at Alabama Credit Union, your trusted partner for financial success. Please find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, we got a lot to get to. Okay, we got Bama football. We got the SEC. We got the NFL. Oh man, I'm gutted by how the Ravens lost that game last night against the Bills. It's become, it's unbelievable. John Harbaugh's team, one of the best teams in the NFL. Nobody loses more double-digit leads in the fourth quarter, and they were up 15 with 4 minutes to go. And Derrick Henry was a beast, unbelievable. And then he had a very unfortunate fumble. He did not make excuses. He said after the game, put it on me. But I will say this, in that situation, the Bills had 10 in the box. And when the minute he got the ball, they were on him. And Ed Oliver, who had already punched out one fumble from Justice Hill, made a great play. And not only was it a fumble, but then it went backwards and it set up the Bills to have the touchdown. They missed the two-point conversion, and then the Buffalo really had to get a stop. Ravens were one first down away from still clinching the game up two. They didn't get it. They punted, which I wouldn't have done. I never would have punted the ball back to Josh Allen there. No offense, but I think John Harbaugh coach is scared in these situations. I think that's why they've lost so many of these type of games. They try to hang on, and they punted it back, and the Bills drove it down and got a chip shot field goal range, and Matt Prater, who they just signed, kicked it through, and they won 41-40. One of the most incredible NFL games I've ever seen, and I was on the wrong end of that one because I was pulling for the Ravens. I'm not going to lie to you. I love NFL. I love Bama in the NFL. Anybody that knows me knows that Derrick Henry's my guy. He's my favorite Bama player in the league, and history-making performance again last night for him, what he is closing in on in terms of rushing records and all-time greats is incredible. But, boy, what a costly fumble there at the end. All right, we got phone calls lined up. We got to get into Alabama. But first, good morning, Chase.
Mr. Gary Harris, good morning.
And, boy, what a special weekend for you. I want Chase to share something with you. I saw it on social media, but you had, speaking of life-changing and kind of explain what happened with you this weekend.
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to get baptized at church. Probably one of the best feelings, moments in my life. I just felt like God led me to do this. Ready to see where God takes me with this. And I do thank everybody on Facebook for congratulating me, especially you, Gary. Thank you for that. But yeah, I just want to be better, you know, be the best version of myself every day and just continue to smile and continue to attack life full head on. But thank you so much, Gary.
Well, congratulations on a life-changing moment for you. And I can tell people already that you're an outstanding person, but this is something that you were led to do, and we're very happy for you. All right, it is 9:09, and phone calls are lined up. Listen, callers, we're going to get to you, but I do have to so much to cover this morning. And let me tell you as well that we got Rodney Orr from TiderInsider.com coming up at 9:30. Casey Smith on golf at 10:30. The United States won the Walker Cup, which is the amateur version of the Ryder Cup, over Great Britain and Ireland. And we'll discuss that and get ready for the Ryder Cup, of course, coming up later this month at Bethpage Black in New York. And also Kalen DeBoer's post-game press conference from Saturday night after Alabama's 73-0 win. All right, a couple notes on that game. 73-0, and I remember the entire time when Saban was here, I just kept saying, you know what, they're going to get to 70. They never did. I know they had 50-something at the half a few times. I know they even let out Auburn 42-0 at the half one time. They had so many games where they could have gotten to 70. I'm just going to be honest with you. Saban didn't really have an interest in doing that. And the next thing they never made it to 70. The last time Alabama had scored 70-plus in a game was 1973. Coach Bryant, 77-6 over Virginia Tech, who Coach Bryant used to refer to as VPI, Virginia Polytech Institute. And a lot of people don't know this either because Hokies has just overwhelmed them. They were the Gobblers, Virginia Tech Gobblers, and still have a turkey as some of their, I don't know if it's official mascot, but anyway, that was the last time Alabama had hung 70 on an opponent. Also, the 73-0 win was the largest shutout victory for Alabama football since 1951 when they beat Delta State, the Statesmen, 89-0. So, history made in that game, and I felt really confident last week that Alabama would blow out ULM, and I had it 55-6. I don't bet on football. I've said that before, but I'm not going to lie to you, Chase. I strongly considered it. I strongly considered placing a wager, and I didn't do it. But and Alabama was 42-0 at half. 36.5-point spread. It's a reactionary society. If Alabama had beat Florida State the week before, I bet you that line would have been like 48. Now look at what happened. They went 73-0, and the line against Wisconsin is like 20, which is, a big line for a quality team. So it was an opportunity, if you are one of those people that wages on football, to get Alabama at a much lower line than you ever will probably again for this type of game. So Alabama took care of business. So many positives in that game. But again, I'll curb my enthusiasm a little bit by saying that that's what they should have done to that team. The rosters were not comparable at all. You're at home. You're coming off a disappointing performance, and you took care of business. Having said that, not everybody did that. Georgia beat Austin Peay 28-6. You know, they won the game, but can you imagine, Chase, if Alabama had, after losing to Florida State 31-17, if they'd come back and won that game 28-6 the other night, fans would have been. So all it does is it kind of settles the water for a little bit. The ship is sailing smooth for this week. And it's gotten, it's by no means a barometer for what's going to happen when they play better teams. That'll be the challenge. But for one night, man, Alabama just absolutely was phenomenal. And the quarterback play was incredible. I mean, it was just unbelievable what Alabama was able to do in terms of their quarterback play in that game. I mean, you look at the three quarterbacks, Simpson, Mack, and Russell combined to go 29 of 33 for 371 yards and 7 touchdowns. No picks. Ty Simpson was 17 of 17. 226, 3 touchdowns. No picks. Austin Mack, 8 of 10, 80 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. And the true freshman, Keelon Russell, who just, the talent just oozes from his pores. You can see it. 4 of 6, 68 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Kevin Riley, I thought, was outstanding running the football. 11 carries, 69 yards. And then A.K. Deere got in late, busted one. 5 carries, 76 yards, and touchdown. Dre Washington ran it well. Young ran it well. Daniel Hill ran it well. Receiving-wise, they spread it around. Lotzier Brooks, another superbly talented freshman. So you get 73 to nothing. You outgain the Warhawks 583 to 148. It was a dominant performance. A good night for Alabama. Much tougher competition coming up this week. Wisconsin is a Big Ten team that is solid. I think Alabama should win the game, but it'll be a tester. But if you get through that one, then you get to Biden, then you go to Georgia. And I'm telling you this, people feel a lot better today about going to Georgia than they did last week. So if nothing else, that win sort of, like I said, calms everything down. All right, let's go ahead and start taking some phone calls there because they're lined up, and we're going to lead off with Mary from over in Atlanta, who, Chase, as you know, drove all the way over from Atlanta on Friday to come to Fridays at the Free, and she brought me and I took a picture of it. I'm going to get it out on social media, too. She made me a homemade, beautiful Alabama bracelet and made one for Stryker as well and gave it to Robbie Glenn. And it is, I took a picture when I was at the gym yesterday. I had it on, and I snapped a picture of it when I was at one of the machines, and I'm going to put that out on social media. But good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Doing great.
I thoroughly enjoyed this weekend so much. I told Chase a second, I think I left my voice in the stadium. I came home. I got home about 3:30 yesterday morning, and it was totally worth it. I thoroughly enjoyed this weekend, and that game was fantastic. It was definitely a great experience for my first game at Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Well, that is awesome, and I was, I didn't even mention that because she drove over Friday for Fridays at the Free, drove back to the ATL, yep. And then drove over Saturday for the game, Chase.
Yep. Sure did.
And you picked a good, like you said, you picked couldn't have picked a better one to go to.
Yeah, it was worth it. It was totally worth all the miles driven and just getting to be around town and explore and hanging out on the quad Saturday. The atmosphere was perfect, and the game, like I said, it just totally blew me away. I mean, I didn't expect us to be up that much by halftime. I mean, I knew that it was going to be a blowout, but 73 to nothing totally blew me away.
Well, and what a weekend for you. And I was so happy to meet you. And how about that lunch at Innisfree on Friday?
It was amazing. So good. It was very good. I have to say, the highlight of the whole weekend, I did not expect to get to meet a former quarterback.
Yeah, let me tell this story. Mary was there with us eating lunch, and and Jake Coker, former Alabama National Championship quarterback, was there, and he came over to say hello, and Mary got to meet him and get a picture with him, and that's her favorite Alabama quarterback.
He's one of them. He was the quarterback when we won the national championship in 2015. Sure. I graduated high school that year, and that was definitely my favorite moment of the weekend, was getting to meet him, and it was just so enjoyable, and I cannot wait. I already can't wait to be back there in 2 months for another game. I'm so excited. I can't wait. And the whole performance Saturday was amazing. Keelon Russell totally blew me away. I thought it was awesome that all three quarterbacks got their chance to play. Ty Simpson was hot, as always, in that first half. That was very impressive. And Jeremy Bernard was on one. His legs and his speed just totally blew me away. And it was just so impressive. And my mind was just blown. It was just such a great experience.
Well, outstanding. I'm glad that you had a terrific weekend, got to experience Alabama football for the first time, got to come over and visit with us on Fridays at the Free. So awesome. Thank you, Mary.
Absolutely. Y'all have a great day.
All right. Good to talk with you. All right. We're going to try to get one more call in real quick, and then we'll get to the break. Corey, you hold tight over there in Trustful. We'll get to you. Joseph, we'll get to you. But right now, let's talk to Ellis up in Manchester, Tennessee. What's up, Ellis?
How's it going there, Gary?
It's going pretty well. This Monday, a lot better than last Monday.
Yes, sir. I know it was a team that wasn't up to par, not a big team, But to me, you know, all these people that thinking that there's big trouble there in the locker room and all of that, you know, to me, if they was like big trouble there, I don't believe they'd played as good as they did against that team.
Yeah, I mean, I've never thought there were any internal issues in terms of anything like that. I was really just concerned by how poorly they played in the game against Florida State after, you know, 9 months to get ready. But it happens, you know, sometimes you know, when two good teams play, one team's going to win, one team's going to lose. And Florida State's a good team, and they hung over 70 on an opponent. So, but they came back on Saturday night without some key guys. Let's be honest, Ryan Williams didn't play. Jamarian Latham didn't play. Obviously, we know that Keenan is out. You know, they lost Beeman during the week. Yeah, so they still don't have Jam Miller, you know. So, but boy, they just they did what you know, I felt like they would do. They overwhelmed a team that was not on the same level of them, and they put the game away early, and they got to play a lot of people, and it was a fun night, and it was an enjoyable night, and you could see all the talent that they have on this roster. So, mission accomplished.
Yes, and maybe this right here will help them down the road.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, there's no
build that confidence, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was feeling really good at enjoying, you know, covering that game, and then last night I just got gutted by the Ravens' loss.
Oh, my stars. I heard about that this morning, you know. And Derrick Henry said, I lost that game.
He said, put it on me.
He said, yeah, put it on me because he fumbled the ball. Yeah, because he usually don't do that, you know.
Yeah, you know, he passed Jim Brown for all-time TDs in that game and had just played phenomenal. And but, you know, he fumbled and he said, hey, man, you know, I'm a man. I'll take the blame, even though he played a great game. But that's the kind of player and person he is. Hey, thank you, Ellis.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide.
All right, we're going to get to a break. We're going to come back with Corey and Trustful and also Joseph. So you guys hold tight till we get to your phone calls on the other side. And we got Rodney Orr coming up at 9:30. We'll hear from Kalen DeBoer, his postgame presser from Saturday night, Casey Smith on golf, and more. And we're celebrating Chase, who got baptized over the weekend. And, man, he's glowing in there in the control room this morning. He really is. We'll be back after this.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Monday morning. The Lauren Beck Memorial Book Drive was created to celebrate the life of a 23-year-old who died of leukemia. The Hillcrest High and UAB grad loved books, and a goal of giving away 400 were made to children and young adults as set by her parents. It was surpassed by 800 books. The drive also raised $420 for the Friends at the Tuscaloosa Library Bookstore. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three Special.
The Irish Pub, often imitated but never duplicated. Fridays at the Free with me, Gary Harris, this fall at Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa. Since 2011, Billy Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Let's get to our buddy Corey over in Trustful, who's been patiently holding this morning. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How you doing this morning?
Doing great, buddy.
had a great football weekend. My Huskies had a huge win over Vestavia. Of course, Alabama dominated against ULM. And Aaron Rodgers got I guess you could say, revenge over his former team and had an epic game against the Jets. And so the only thing that was a damper was Derrick Henry. And
yeah, I'm just gutted for him. Because to play the kind of game he did and just phenomenal and you know, keep climbing up the board in terms of all-time rushers and pass Jim Brown for touchdowns. And then the situation, they're up 8. They've lost the momentum already, and he got absolutely – that's the one time I didn't want to give them to give him the ball. I mean, I saw the line of scrimmage, and I saw how they were going to attack the line of scrimmage, and sure enough, they broke through, and Ed Oliver made a great job of, you know, did a great job of stripping that ball out, and it absolutely stings. And, you know, I'm a fan too, and I wanted to see Derrick Henry finish off that game, and it didn't happen.
I didn't watch the second half, but when they punted the ball, what was the down and distance they needed?
I think they needed 3 yards. Let me comment on that, Corey, since you brought it up. That's John Harbaugh playing scared, coaching scared again. You got a 2-point lead at that point. You punt the ball back to the Bills, you're probably going to see what happened exactly the way it happened. And why not go for it there? Even if you don't make it, then maybe they kick the field goal sooner. Because they're closer and you have a little time to get the ball back. But when you punted it down, I'm with you. You know, put the ball in Lamar's hands, give him a chance to make a first down and put the salt the game away rather than punting it away. It's just, it's an excruciating loss. It's like some of the losses that Saban had when Alabama just got gutted. So, but you know, it happened and you move on to next week, but Derrick Henry stood up and took his medicine. He met with the media, was a pro as always, Corey. And in fact, I'm going to get that sound over to Chase, and we'll play it at some point this morning.
Going back to Alabama, I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better performance. I mean, were we expecting 73 points? No, but I think you wanted a clean game. Minimum injuries, which is what we got, and just show that Alabama improved. I mean, and they clearly did, and they took this game seriously, and I enjoyed the game. Now Wisconsin will be a little bit tougher, and Alabama should win pretty easily, but the only thing I hate about this game is that it's an 11 o'clock game. But other than that, if Alabama comes out focused and prepared, they should beat Wisconsin, and then the real test will be in when we go to Athens. And you'll probably talk about this later. As much as I hate to say this, and this is going to make sense to a degree, you want Georgia to win this Tennessee game, because the last thing you want is having to play an angry Georgia team when Alabama's already struggling to a degree.
Yeah, I'm pulling for Georgia to win. Absolutely. I mean, I think it's better for Alabama, and it also, you know, gives Alabama, if they are able to go over there and win, more credit for winning the game. So, no, I don't think there's any doubt that if you're an Alabama fan, you want Georgia to beat Tennessee before before they go into their bye. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So, that's a no-brainer for me. Hey, Corey, great call, my friend. I'm up against the break, but thank you so much. Okay, buddy?
Good talk to you, Gary. Roll Tide.
Appreciate you. All right, we're going to close it out with Joseph in this segment. Hey, Joseph.
What's up, Gary?
Hey, man. Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Doing great. Except for the Ravens loss last night, but it happened, so I love it. What else you got? You know, you're not a Derrick Henry fan?
I'm a Derrick Henry fan. I just ain't a Lamar Jackson fan. Everybody claims he's the best quarterback in the league, and if you look at his passes numbers, they're not even in the top 5 in the last
three or four years.
All right.
I mean, if you look at his passing stats, I mean, because you can go right now and look at the stats. He's not in the top five in passing stats.
Well, what about Bama the other night? I know you liked that.
Oh, I did. I loved that. All those people saying bench Kyle Simpson. I didn't see nobody here saying bench him this week.
He's not going to be benched. You don't have to worry about that. That's for sure. All right. Thank you, Joseph. It's 9:30. We're going to get to the break and come back with Rodney Orr from TiderInsider.com and Tider Insider TV. We're right after this on the Gary Harris Show.
Language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
Where the season never ends. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It's time for Mr. Tider Insider, Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, Tider Insider TV for his Monday segment. And, of course, obviously, we're going to recap Alabama ULM and look ahead to Alabama in Wisconsin. Good morning, Rodney.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Doing great. It was a really good weekend until the Ravens blew that 15-point lead in the final 4 minutes. And they have now – it's amazing how some teams can, you can be that good – Rod, and we'll get to Alabama for sure, but Harbaugh and the Ravens have blown more double-digit leads. I think I'm reading all the stats. It's just crazy. And another one last night. And the reason I'm so gutted for Henry is because he was having another phenomenal game. Passed Jim Brown for all-time rushing touchdowns. He's headed toward the top 10 all times in rushing and was close to 200 yards. And unfortunately, he had just an awful fumble, Rod, and the Bills wound up winning that game. So, but... That's the NFL. You know, I follow it closely. Most of those games, not all, but a good portion of those games go right down to the wire, you know? And it's but that was a tough one last night.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really watch it, but I kind of kept up track the score a little bit here and there. And I know it was 40 to 25 at one point. Looked like Baltimore had the thing under control. You know, again, the one thing I did see in that game that did catch my attention was – a couple of times Buffalo went for two. You know, they were chasing points.
Mm-hmm.
That almost ended up hurting them really badly there. But of course, you know, like you said, they ended up pulling it out.
So
Josh Allen, another really good.
Oh, phenomenal. But Henry, man, he had one of those runs running down the sideline where he just left defensive backs in his wake.
Yeah,
It's phenomenal. But it was, listen, that's, you know, the Ravens are, I'd love to see Derrick Henry get to a Super Bowl. That's a team that's good enough to do it. But, you know, they have a tendency to blow leads, and they did it last night. But let's get to Alabama. You had your Sunday morning thoughts. I thought you wrapped it up really well yesterday morning. There's really not much, you know, negative to take away. There's a couple small things, but let's just get to the fact that, you know, they did answer the bell. We discussed this all last week. You and I discussed it on our TV show. We discussed it on the Inside the Trenches podcast. We discussed it on this segment. You wanted to see how Alabama would respond. And, you know, if they did come out and take care of business, or if you know kind of like Georgia did with Austin Peay, if it was just a lackluster performance, it was not. I mean, 42-0 at half, the quarterback play, we've gone over the numbers, including Todd Simpson going 17 of 17. It was a phenomenal performance, first time to score over 70 points at Alabama since 77-6 in 1973 for Coach Bryan against Virginia Tech. Just a great night for Alabama football, and kind of calmed the waters a little bit heading into this week.
Yeah, I mean, again, it was something that we said last week was, you know, obviously it was ULM. It was La Monroe. They're not a good team. And it wasn't something that I think was going to offer a ton of encouragement for Alabama if they won, even if it was a blowout. But at the same time, I think it's a baby step in the right direction. There's no question about that. I mean, the one thing that really struck me was I thought, you know, as we sat there before the game, the crowd was pretty lifeless. There wasn't a lot of energy. But the team created some. They created a lot of it. I thought they played with a ton of energy, a ton of passion, focus. They went out there with a purpose, much unlike what had happened the week before at Florida State. So from that standpoint, it was really encouraging the way they bounced back. And it was exciting seeing all the young talent that they put out there. I'm talking about some of the freshmen, mm-hmm. whether it was Lotzer Brooks, Keelon Russell, Michael Carroll, Jackson Lloyd got in the game. A.K. Deer had a big run.
Sure did.
And I'm going to miss somebody. But there was a lot of young players that got out there, and Kevin Riley continued to kind of show how good his, you know, reveal some of his talents, his versatility. The young redshirt freshman from here in Tuscaloosa. So thought it was a lot of encouragement that we saw. But again, it was just kind of, to me, the way that they went about doing it. And hopefully moving forward now, that'll kind of position them here in this coming game with Wisconsin. And then, you know, you got the off week and then the big game at Georgia.
Yeah, and it sets up well. It's and I know fans are immediately out there concerned about what's going to happen in the future. But Alabama, it's obvious they have three really talented quarterbacks, all at different levels of their career in terms of their, you know, where they're at. Because it kind of stacks up well. But I do want to ask you, because Simpson was phenomenal, and so was Mack. But Keelon Russell got in, and a true freshman, number one rated quarterback in the country. And you could see it, Rod. I mean, you and I have seen a lot of special players come through here, and he's got that look, just that kind of talent that's rare. I mean, just I thought he, for his first time ever to play, did not look like a true freshman, again, taking into account the level of competition.
Yeah. No, I mean, I thought he did. I agree with you. I mean, look, he didn't seem, it is ULM, but at the same time, I do think he handled himself extremely well. Man, what a lightning quick delivery he mm-hmm. has. He gets that ball out very quickly. I thought the first touchdown throw to Keelan, Cole Adams was, man, I mean, here's a guy. He pulled the ball down at the last second. He sees Adams open and he just flicks the pass. I mean, he's got phenomenal potential, in my opinion. Really look forward to seeing him play. I thought Austin Mack had some good throws. Obviously, he did well. He was 8 out of 10. Had a couple of touchdown passes, 7 TD passes in the game. You mentioned Ty. I mean, obviously, 17 of 17. He had a perfect night. Probably the only quarterback in history, Gary, at Alabama, to have two touchdown passes and a rushing touchdown in the same drive. I mean, that was pretty amazing there. They had a couple called back, on tie, but he still delivered on the third one. But, they scored 10 touchdowns, 10 out of 11 possessions, and the only possession they didn't score a touchdown, they got the field goal from Talty, mm-hmm. which I thought he hit it pretty well.
He sure did.
I mean, he actually hit two.
And he has to say, he had to make it twice. Ty scored, had to score three touchdowns. Yeah. They had to score three touchdowns to get it to count, and he had to make the field goal twice. So, yeah, phenomenal.
Yeah. So, anyway, it was a good performance. I mean, obviously, 583 total yards to only 148. So, he did a pretty good job on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, let's get to the defense, because you and I both know how hard it is to get a shutout in college football, period, regardless of who you're playing. You know, even late in the game, you worry about backups giving up something. But 148 total yards. I don't think ULM crossed midfield until really late in the game, and I think that was on a penalty. Again, it's the defense has to be able to hold up against the really good teams, and that'll be the challenge. But on Saturday night, it was good to see. It was good to see a lot of guys get to play. And it was good to see some young guys get to play on that defensive front where they need to develop some depth. So, you give up 0 points in a game, that's something to be proud of.
Yeah. No, I mean, I thought obviously they played with a lot more confidence, a lot more passion, energy on that side of the ball. They were a lot more consistent. Again, they created three turnovers, And how about QB Reese? Man, that guy is a heady
nose
player.
For the ball. You can just see it. Yep.
Yeah, he creates a, he picks up the fumble, and then he created a fumble later. And another guy, Dre Kirkpatrick Jr., he got the targeting. I don't know that was, that didn't look like targeting to me. It looked like a really good hit, and it was a really strong hit. And then he also created a fumble. So, I thought that was great to see the young players play. I do think if you look at the defense, the one question that I continue to have is on the defensive line. How are they going to be able to hold up? There's not a lot of depth. Fortunately, Keenan's coming back. You know, I thought James Smith played a great game, maybe his best game yet. He showed up a lot, made a lot of plays. London Simmons, a true freshman, getting the start in place of Keenan in this game. Of course, Beeman being out, too, with his injury that sidelined him for the year last week. And then, LT Overton. But, that's the one thing I wonder about, how this defensive line is going to eventually hold up in SEC play.
Yeah, we'll find out soon in a couple of weeks. They'll have to hold up against the Big Ten team on Saturday, 11 a.m. kick, early game. Wisconsin comes in after Alabama went up there and thumped them last year in Madison. A lot of Bama fans made that trip and tell me it was a fantastic trip to make. Wisconsin fans will make the return trip here. I know a lot of them are planning on coming down. We've already had, at the TV station, hearing from some of their media up there. They're looking forward to this trip. They're 2-0. They're a Big Ten team. I wouldn't say they're an elite Big Ten team, but they've got some talent. They're, beat Miami of Ohio 17-0, then beat Middle Tennessee State 42-10. In that game against Middle Tennessee, their quarterback, Danny O'Neill, threw for 283 yards. He's also another one of these guys that can use his feet. He's not the biggest guy, 6 feet, 196, but we've seen Alabama with these kind of, shorter, stockier type quarterbacks have all kinds of issues with Pavia and then Castellanos this year. So this is a game where Alabama will need to play well to go ahead and get the win. So just kind of handicap the Wisconsin game for us.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about them yet. I haven't really looked at them that closely, but Luke Fickell, obviously he's a really good coach. He's had a lot of success. He's going to put a team on the field that's fundamentally sound. You know that. I don't take anything for granted. Obviously it's an opportunity for Alabama. They should be focused on taking the next step. Yeah, that was a baby step against ULM, and now you've got Wisconsin. I think that's the focus in terms of just taking that next step, going out, playing another clean football game, growing some confidence on both sides of the ball, hopefully, and getting a win and getting to that open date. But just don't know enough about Wisconsin right now. You mentioned the quarterback, O'Neill, and again, it's like you said, Alabama's had difficulties with those kinds of quarterbacks that can move around, make plays with their feet. They're going to have to be really disciplined up front in terms of the pass rush and the things that they do, and not let him loose. So it's going to be a real challenge.
Yeah, he was really good against Middle Tennessee State. Obviously, he'll go up in competition, but San Diego State transfer, who, like we said, he had to come in for an injury. He was not the starter in game one for them against Miami, Ohio, but the other quarterback got hurt. He came in that game, and then he started against Middle Tennessee, and statistically, the Wisconsin people are saying it's one of the best debuts for a Wisconsin quarterback. He completed 85% of his passes for 283 yards, the most ever by a quarterback making his first start in UW history. So, it seems like Alabama just can't get away from these type of quarterbacks, Rod.
Well, it certainly prepare them for the future.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you're going to have guys that even Gunnar Stockton can move around a little bit at Georgia. And then, obviously Pasha after that, you're going to later get Jackson Arnold down the road.
Yeah.
You got to be able to defend those kinds of players. And Alabama has really struggled at that.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, 23 of 27, 283 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, and can use his feet as well. All right, getting back to Alabama specifically, and like I said, you had a nice little Sunday morning recap of the game. But when you dominate a team like that, it is easy to fall into the trap of, oh, we're back and all that. But again, as the competition goes up, what do you need to see from Alabama, let's say on this Saturday against a much higher caliber opponent, to continue to feel like this team is taking the steps that it needs to?
Yeah, no, I think obviously it's probably going to be a lot more physical game, and I think you're going to have to be more physical up front defensively, and you're going to have to be able to, withstand the run, and you're going to have to be able to generate a pass rush. How about a pass rush? Alabama has not had a sack yet in two games. You know, they had some opportunities in this last game. They missed guys. Again, took bad angles, which has happened in the past. They've overrun guys. So they're going to really, I think, being able to generate a consistent pass rush is something that's been a real thorn in the side. And I think that's something we need to really watch in this game and moving forward.
For Coach DeBoer and this coaching staff, I mean, I'll use the word. I used it with you. I it was toxic last week. I mean, I've discussed it. Of course, the social media era has a lot to do with that. But, boy, fans went into that Florida State game talking about winning a national championship and came out of it, fans and media and, nationally, locally, just saying, this team might wind up to be, hot garbage. So, again, you take into consideration the caliber of the opponent, but still, good for them. I mean, that's about all I can say, because not every team that played in a game like this did dominate. There, you look around the country, there were games like this where the favored team did not play this well. So, the coaching staff needed it too, Rod. I mean, I think everybody associated with Alabama football needed this result.
Yeah. And, again, I think the players really rallied. I think things I've heard throughout the week, they really showed a lot of support to Coach DeBoer because, they hear what's going on. They hear the criticisms and all of that. Understand they showed a lot of support. And they went out there and played with a ton of energy. They responded to what the coaching staff, the message that was sent to them. And so from that standpoint, yeah, it was really good. And again, I think Kalen DeBoer's a really good coach. I think his track record proves that. You don't go to Washington where they're 4-8 and you in 2 years you go 25-3 and play for the national championship. You beat Dan Lanning 3 times. You beat Sark. You beat multiple times. You got to win over Kirby. So he's a good coach. There's no question about that. But again, this is a different animal here at Alabama. I think you have to be ready from week to week to week. It's a grind. It's not the Pac-12 where you get a week off here and there. It's a weekly grind, and that's the thing that we're going to have to really watch moving forward. Every single week is a new week.
Yeah, great point, and that's where we'll close because we were talking about the NFL earlier, and of course they play 17 games now, so you can't go 500, but they say the setup of the NFL with the rules and the free agency and everything's designed to try to make everybody 8-8 so that, in other words, there's parity every week, and it's a week-to-week league. That, you're right, that's what college football is becoming with the portal and NIL, and it's a week-to-week endeavor, and it's a reactionary society, but you play well 1 week, it does not guarantee that the next week you're going to have success. And, I think, Rodney, we're all kind of learning to adjust how we view college football, particularly in a program like Alabama that's been so dominant that, you can't look at it like that anymore. It's, we all want to look down, we'll look past these 3 games and because we want to look toward what, when Tennessee comes to Tuscaloosa or this. Even as fans, you got to adjust and understand that pretty much every week. Now, this past week was a little bit of an outlier, but this week against a Wisconsin team or anytime in the SEC, anytime you play in the conference, you have to be ready to go or you can get a bad result.
You look at Georgia. I mean, you talked about the game against Austin Peay, but, they've missed the playoffs the last 2 years. I mean, I know it was a 4-team playoff a couple of years ago, and they had a great team, but they still missed
That's
the
right.
playoffs. They missed it again. Yeah, they were, in last year. I'm sorry, I said 2 years, but 2 years ago they missed it. Point is, where I'm going is this. They thought they were on the verge of the dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to win several national championships, and they won 2 in a row. And again, they made the playoffs last year, but it's not the same anymore. I mean, you can't stock up 5-star depth the way you used to. Players can't be coached the way they used to could be coached. They'll just jump in the portal if they don't like kind of where they are and what's going on. So it's a lot different now. It's going to be a real challenge to be consistently a big winner. In the way it is right now. So, yes, you're right. I agree with you. It's changed a lot, and I think that, we have to understand that.
All right, Ronnie and I will be discussing more football tonight on Inside the Trenches with Wallace Gilberry and Andre Smith at 7 o'clock on Tide 100.9 FM, and also anywhere your podcasts are available. We'll be on Tider Insider TV tomorrow night, and boy, we had fun last week on Tider Insider TV. Calls came in left and right. Unfortunately, we had a little bit of our phone lines weren't 100% clear, but I've been told they've fixed that. So we'll be talking it up. And, of course, TiderInsider.com. Win or lose, it's always full speed ahead.
Yep, it's only $48 a year. You can get instant access right now with a credit card if you prefer. There is an address there to send a check. Gives you all our premium stuff. But also, Gary, the All Sports Forum, like you mentioned, the community there, there's a lot of stuff going on.
All right, thanks, Rod.
Okay, thank you.
All right, 9:52 here on the Gary Harris Show. I was at the YMCA yesterday afternoon, Chase, and boy, I love going in on Sunday afternoon. Sunday's my day, you know that, because it's really my only day that I'm off completely. And got into the Y yesterday afternoon, got a workout in. Man, just love the facility, love the people. Something else, you know, Chase, that can be overlooked: the cleanliness. Not all gyms are sanitary, man. You know what I'm talking about. And that's not the case at the Y. They're always, you keep it very, very clean. Plus, outside in the wellness area, there's plenty of hand sanitizer always available. There's also plenty of the wipes to wipe down the equipment, keep it clean. You know, that's a big part of a good gym to me. And the YMCA has got everything available: personal training, fitness classes. Get by and see them, 2300 13th Street downtown. To find out more at ymcatuscaloosa.org. All right, we're going to come back and wrap up hour number one of the Gary Harris Show here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
On the Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of the Game, we'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is sponsored by DanielMoreArt.com. We'll talk to Martin Houston. We'll talk to Drew DeArmond. And we'll take your phone calls starting at 2 p.m. on the Monday edition of the Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program.
I'll still be making the plays. You'll be making the bets. And finally getting the sports glory you deserve. The Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino. Play the Game.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages.
Results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine today with a warm afternoon, the high 84. Clear tonight, the low 64. The weather stays dry tomorrow and Wednesday. The sky's sunny both days. Highs in the mid to upper 80s between 85 and 88. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show. Streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Knowing the day I was born, when the saw gathered round. All right, 9:58. Easy for me to say. We're winding it down, but I do want to remind you that thrilled to be associated with Decades Pub and Grub. Cliff Clark and Company downtown at Timberson Square, man. This is such a neat place. I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday about how good the food is. Cliff and the folks in the kitchen, man, they take a lot of pride in their menu. This is not your typical pub food, man. Check it out. And while you're there, you'll be able to step back in time and taste the flavor of every decade at Decades Pub and Grub. Whether you're craving a classic burger or stacked sandwich or one of their signature cocktails, they've got the vibe and the flavor to match. Catch the game on the big screen, sing along to throwback hits, and make every night one to remember at Decades. It's not just food, it's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past. Downtown Timberson Square. All right, it's going to wrap it up for hour number one. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Hour number two, we'll get to more phone calls. Ragged Glory, you hold tight. We'll get to you. We'll hear from Kalen DeBoer. We'll hear from Derrick Henry. We'll talk to Casey Smith. Another big hour of the Gary Harris Show is on the way.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
Josh Jacobs has extended the Packers' lead.
Second down. Here's the handoff. Jacobs cuts it back to the end zone.
Yes. Touchdown! Standing up!
Side of the line, Jacobs cut it back to the right. It's 23-6, Green Bay.
You just heard it all on the game. Packers Radio Network, they're on top of the lines, 24-6, halfway through the fourth quarter. The Rams are on top of the Texans at home, 14-9, early in the fourth. And with the final 3 minutes, the 49ers and Seahawks are tied at 10 apiece in Seattle. Still early in the fourth between the Titans and the Broncos, and Denver is up 13-12. In Major League Baseball, Cal Raleigh hit his 53rd home run of the season as the Mariners outscored.
Contact Courtney Watt at 205-242-5127. North River Timber, co@gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, it's hour number two of the Gary Harris Show with Gary Harris and Chase Brumfield. We're in celebration mode, celebrating Chase's baptism over the weekend, man. He's just, like I said, he's just glowing in there in the control room. Hey, if we get any nasty callers today, they can't bring Chase down. He's feeling too good. This second hour of the Gary Harris Show brought to you, as always, by Patterson Law Firm. No recovery, no fee. Free consultation 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call 205-345-1000. You won't speak with a call center. You'll speak to a real attorney right here in West Alabama. That's what's special about Patterson Law Firm. I'm proud to be associated with them. If you've been hurt in an automobile accident or dealing with any type of other personal injury, call Patterson Law Firm today. 205-345-1000. The number is easy to remember, and you can find out more at PattersonLawPC.com.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
All right, and we're going to jump right out on the phones here because Ragged Glory has been holding for a while. We'll get to Ragged Glory, and then we'll get to Robbie Glenn. Good morning, Ragged Glory.
Hey, good morning. You know what? Man, what a day. What a beautiful day.
It is. It is.
Hey, Chase, welcome to the Brotherhood, both from Julian and I. I already told you that, man. Ah, good to have you. You were already there. You know what? I got it. My heart is bleeding, but not bleeding for Derrick Henry, because that man brought it. Oh my goodness gracious! Watching him, I wish we had him back.
Man, special football player. Yeah, no doubt about it.
What you and I share that in common, as far as he's my favorite of all time here. What a class act. And guess what? He owns it, and guess what? We'll probably be seeing the Bills again. You know, they weren't too shabby, obviously. So, but you know what? Kudos to Alabama, because Mark Houston and I started this conversation way back, and they finally, the whole team and the coaching staff, finally adhered to what him and I were talking about. They put it all together. It was a great package. It would have been nice to see or be a fly on the wall in that POM last Monday. after the loss.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I'm with you.
Man, it would have been, and they got, now I'm hoping they're having another one this morning before they go to their studies or whatever it is they do, because the next level of competition is coming back here. Woohoo! Let's bring it. Be the same team you were to that next level, and let's see what happens. Never give up, never surrender, and no retreat, Alabama. Roll, Tide, roll.
I hear you.
You know what? And I can't wait to see your banter with Matt Coulter on Wednesday.
Well, I was going to say, what did you think of the race yesterday?
You never brought up NASCAR this morning. So.
Well, I was going to get to it. It's just so much with football right now. But I had, you know, Matt had Blaney, and I thought Blaney had a race-winning car. You know, he got spun out by Kyle Larson. Just absolutely no excuse for it. Kyle Larson made a mistake, and that impacted Blaney. And then Logano was in the hunt, but Denny Hamlin was strong, man. He was really strong. This may be his year.
It could be, but I was so proud of Chase.
Yeah, good footy for third.
Another top five. Yeah. Right ahead of Blaney and Logano.
Sure did.
I mean, you guys had four and five.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty close pick.
And Briscoe almost went back to back.
I'm telling you. Oh, anyways, exciting, exciting, exciting. Carry on. You got a show to do.
Great call, Ragged Glory, man. Good to hear from you. Tell Jalene I said hello. Thank you.
I will do that. Hello, Mary. I love you.
great call. All right, let's get to Robbie Glenn here on the Storage Center Hotline, 205-342-9904. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Gary. Happy Monday. And Chase, congratulations on being baptized. And just keep on smiling, brother, like he's doing. But I wanted to call in since I was one of those ones that didn't think they would cover because they just haven't shown the heart. But I was proven wrong, and I'm glad I was proven wrong because they did look good. They showed up, showed out. You just can't beat the stats, the four incomplete passes only. That's just
phenomenal.
Not only great for the quarterbacks, but the receivers catching them.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
That's great focus.
Yeah.
That's great focus right there. You know, spreading the ball around, running backs running. The only thing, you know, we still haven't had a 100-yard runner, and I'd like to get that, which I know we're working a lot of running backs through.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still confused why Daniel Hill is only getting three carries. I don't know if it's something he's not picking up, but at 245 pounds, I just want to see him run over some people. So they'll get that chance this weekend with a more physical, more well-matched team with them with Wisconsin. But if they keep playing like that, then, yeah, they'll definitely be ready for Georgia. And, like you said, fell for Henry, but what a great game. But what a great game. That was two of the best teams throwing punches at each other.
It was a phenomenal game. It's just, you know, and listen, Derek had an unfortunate fumble, Robbie. I mean, it did, you know. It probably did.
Yeah,
but he plays. But there's something about John Harbaugh that you don't lose this many big leads as the Ravens have done. I just think he's a good coach, obviously, man. They're good every year. Let's give him credit. They're a Super Bowl contending team just about every season. But when you have this many, I just think he gets – You feel them just trying to hang on. You know, you see them for three and a half quarters, and they're just dominant, man. They're just going for it. They're making plays. And then you sense at the end, you know, they just get tight. And I think that comes from the head coach. And I'll be honest with you, Robbie, when it was a two-point game there after Henry's fumble and they got the touchdown and missed the two-point conversion, they're down two. A first down there probably salts it away. And on that fourth and three, kind of, I'm going for it there. I'm sorry. I felt like a punt. They were still going to drive it down. Even if you don't make it, maybe they wind up kicking the field goal sooner. Maybe you get the ball back. I'm going down with the way that defense was getting carved up. I'm going down with Lamar and Henry and those guys trying to make a play to salt the game away. And I'm not punting the ball there. I'm sorry. I would have gone for it.
Yeah, it looked like he was watching that play before. Or the guy made the catch, and he ran over there to see the measurement. When he saw it was 3 yards instead of one or two, I think he automatically changed it then. But like you said, you got to go ahead and put the game away there. And just see what happens. But, yeah, especially with Lamar back there.
Yeah, because what I'm thinking, too, you know, and Henry's fumble, I mean, he made no excuse. First of all, they gave him a 9-yard loss on that. It was a 3-yard loss, and then the fumble went back 6 yards. But they gave him all – that kept him from having – you know, he went from 178 yards to 169, but whatever it was. But long story short – that was the one time I was sitting there saying, please don't give Derek the ball. Because you could just see that they weren't attacking the line of scrimmage. They were attacking Derrick Henry. They knew he was going to get it. They busted through the line of scrimmage. Ed Oliver made a play. You could have faked the handoff to Henry going left and ran the old bootleg back to the side, and Lamar Jackson might have still been running. But, you know, two good teams playing. Somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to lose. But that is a gut wrencher, man.
It was, but you said don't give it to Henry, but that is one big, strong man.
No, he's phenomenal.
I'm shocked that he fumbled.
He's a true legend. You don't get many true legends anymore.
That's what I'm thinking. Give it to your safest player and let him just pound it. But, I mean, I get it. But that stiff arm he did on that touchdown run earlier in the game, oh, my. He threw a 215-pound dude like he was 100 pounds. He just threw him all the way, 5 yards back.
Yeah, how impressive was that? It was even more impressive, though, is the one down the left sideline where he left those two defensive backs in his wake. At 6'3", 240 pounds, he's outrunning guys. He can sling them around, and then he can outrun them. It's just such a shame that he was on his way to, you know, the kind of game that he was having, and that fumble mars it. You know, it does. But that's,
it mars it.
Yep. The way it goes.
That's football.
Hey, we had fun on Friday, didn't we?
Oh, yes, we did. And, you know, meeting Mary, and I'm glad she got to meet Coker. He's a great guy and everything. But the food, absolutely. I mean, they just blow it away. Them fried green tomatoes that I had were probably the best I've had in a long time.
Yeah, they were outstanding. Yeah,
I enjoyed it. So hopefully you'll get your whole – equipment set up, and
he'll
have a good one this Friday.
Yeah, that's the plan, man. That is the plan. Maybe you can come. Maybe you can run back down.
I'll see. Stryker has his procedure Thursday. They moved it up a week, so it'll be Thursday. So I don't know how that's going to go. We'll see.
Yeah, you may.
If I can, I will. I'll shoot down.
All right, buddy.
It all depends on how he reacts. All right, man. Gary. Thank you.
Thanks, Robbie. All right, let's keep it going with my buddy Cam over there in North Georgia. Hey, Cameron.
What's up, brother? How you doing this beautiful day?
I'm doing great, man. I just, like I said, other than the Ravens loss last night, it was a fabulous weekend.
Hey, man, what? I'm trying to explain to my wife, who doesn't really know much about football, and you've forgotten more than I will ever know about football. Like I told you over the years, I was always into soccer. But I'm trying to explain how you phrase a player, the difference between the teams. Like, this should be a blowout because of the player, the difference in the player. How do I explain it in small words? But she's like, well,
roster. I like the term roster disparity.
They're all bigger, faster, and stronger.
Listen,
I'm like, yeah, but some are bigger, faster, and stronger than others.
Yeah,
some have a star and some don't.
Here's what you're talking about. When you have a team that is a Power Four team, SEC team in particular, and you're playing a Group of Five team, or not even all Group of Five teams are comparable. But Louisiana Monroe, and I know they beat Alabama in 2007 here, but what you're talking about is if you got 85 scholarship players, Monroe probably has, out of those 85 that they have, maybe three or four, five that Alabama would recruit or would have on their roster, if any. And Alabama probably their third team guy, maybe their freshman would probably be starting at Monroe. That's the difference. It's just the talent disparity.
So these schools will just take anybody to fill the roster because
it's not that.
unless you just bleed. ULM, you're probably not going to go there unless you just football. You're maybe not going to the NFL, but you want to get a degree from this school or from the school of the poor or the blind. Well, but you know the team probably is not going to be successful against the deeper end
Well, they're not going to play
me. I had a hard time trying to describe it.
I'm trying to explain it to you. They're not going to play many teams like Alabama. They play in within their league. They're trying to be competitive in their league, win their league, compete for their league championship, get to a bowl game. They play these kind of games for money, for the to help their budget, because again, they don't have the resources that Alabama has. So I think it was whatever, you know, $1.9 million or whatever they made to come to Tuscaloosa for this game. That goes a long way in sustaining their budget. But what they're trying to do is be competitive at their level. But they will play as many of these games as they can because of the payoff that they get. But they don't, you know, sometimes it happens. Like we said, it's happened before. Louisiana Monroe's beaten.
You take it for granted, you get burned, right?
Yeah, they have beaten four Power Four teams in their history, and Alabama's one of them. So, but, you know.
How do you feel about having that caliber on your schedule? I mean, I loved watching the game. I miss Saban so bad, and I love hearing touchdown. I love that. I missed it. But how do you feel? How does Gary feel about having him on the schedule?
Well,
I mean, I'm glad the school gets, because we're north of Kennesaw State University above the Truist Park. So I'm really rooting for them, but it's not looking good. But the college is getting bigger every year and bigger and bigger and bigger. But that gives us a false sense of security, even though everybody got to play. It was murder ball, old school. But how do you feel about it on the schedule?
Well, I think you have to, you know, you got 12 games, you're playing eight conference games, you're playing Florida State, you're playing Wisconsin. You've got to have a couple of games, you just do. And, you know, Alabama's got this one, and then, of course, they got the one, you know, later in the season. But outside of that, when you're in the, and then when they go to nine conference games next year, you know, you probably won't. You know, I've already canceled the West Virginia series. You probably won't play as many of those kind of games because the SEC is such a grind. You just can't play 12 weeks against top-tier competition. You've got to have a couple of games that you feel like you have the – what we're talking about, the roster disparity, where your roster is just superior to the other team. So I know fans a lot of times – don't like those kind of games, but in this case, it was needed. It
definitely needed. I like you said, Gary said, calm in the water.
Yeah.
And definitely, if only for 7 days, it calmed the waters, and we all kind of needed it, I guess.
It did. So, but you know what?
Makes sense, brother. That makes more sense to me than I can explain to my wife, because she's like, they're all big, fast, and strong. I'm like, well,
she's not wrong in the sense that if you go down on the game field before the game and you look at Monroe's team, you are going to see a lot of good-looking football players. I mean, they've got some good – like I said last week, they've got some good players. They've got some good coaches. They're just not built to compete at this level. They're built to try to compete in the Sun Belt. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to win their league. But getting to play a team like Alabama is a great experience for their players to come in front of 100,000 people. And it gives them, you know, a barometer of what the best in college football is like. And it'll help them in their league. So that's what they're trying to get out of it. And Alabama's trying to get out of it a win. And that's what happened. So I think even though they got beat 73-0, I bet you head coach Bryant Vincent would tell you, hey, that was good for us. You know, we made a lot of money for coming to Tuscaloosa. We played against the best team that we're going to play against all year, and it'll help us in our conference.
That's true. All right, Paul, let me go chase these deer away from my persimmon tree. Good listening to you, Gary. Roll Tide, buddy.
All right, thank you, Cam. Appreciate that. And, boy, calls are rolling in. We appreciate our calls. I guarantee you that. It is 10:20 here on the Gary Harris Show. Casey Smith on golf coming up at 10:30. We can take more phone calls in the next segment. Much better vibe, Chase, what do you say, this week than last week?
Very calm, cool, and collected.
And, of course, you got Kalen DeBoer's press conference coming up at noon. You have the coordinators, Ryan Grubb and Kane Womack, at 11:30. So it's press conference day. And we're still going to try to get some Kalen DeBoer sound from Sunday as well. And when we come back on the other side, we got the Derrick Henry clip that I want to run. No excuses for this guy. Pro. And also, some breaking news for Alabama men's basketball recruiting. We'll have that for you as well on the other side of the break. This is the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC.
Now, this hour is Here's West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here at the TuscaloosaThread.com headlines brought to you by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Alabama recorded 6 traffic fatalities across the state during the long Labor Day holiday weekend, according to Belia. Trooper Corporal Reginald King says making traffic stops, though, is not the worst part of the job.
The absolute worst part of what we do is telling a family that their loved one has been killed in a traffic crash and they're not coming home.
Tuscaloosa County recorded one of those highway fatalities. Miss Alabama, Emma Terry, took 4th runner-up in last night's Miss America Finals. She earns a $5,000 scholarship. And Bama is a 20.5-point favorite over Wisconsin Saturday at Bryant-Denny. Summer is coming to an end, so let Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram put you in a new Ram truck, Dodge Charger, or a Jeep. Shop the dealership for former Bama quarterback Jalen Hurts.
Mazda lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours events.
Plus a free adjustable base with select Sealy mattresses. For the great sleep you deserve, visit Mattress Firm. We make sleep easy. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily...
The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine today with a warm afternoon, the high 84. Clear tonight, the low 64. The weather stays dry tomorrow and Wednesday. The sky's sunny both days. Highs in the mid to upper 80s between 85 and 88. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Hot! Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 1025. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Nate Oates, when it comes to recruiting, he's always at it. That's why he's one of the best in the business. And big news this morning, Joe Tipton reporting that 2026 top 30 overall recruit Chris Washington Jr. has committed to Alabama. The 6'8 small forward is a tremendous prospect. He, I think he feels like he's got a game similar to Brandon Miller. He chose Alabama over Tennessee, Ole Miss, Auburn, and, of course, many, many others. He said, quote, "I'm a big guard, maybe Brandon Miller 2.0. Well, if he's got that kind of skill set, which he appears that he might have, he'll be a very, very special player. So remember the name Chris Washington Jr. could be the next Brandon Miller for the Crimson Tide. A great pickup for Alabama basketball recruiting. And, you know, so much has changed in college sports, but the one thing that hasn't changed is you got to have talented players. And the one thing that Nate Oates, Preston Murphy, and that staff is able to do is identify players, recruit those players, put together a plan, and then get commitments and sign those players. So, I mean, as long as Nate Oates is the coach at Alabama, they're going to be competing for Final Fours. That's just the reality of it, and hopefully a national championship. All right, let's jump out on the Storage Center hotline. Super Joe's with us. What up, partner?
Oh, man, it's been great in that shoot. I tell you what, we're looking right this week, but I believe like this. I believe it's going to be probably a harder game against Wisconsin this week, but I still believe the Tiger can pull off. I hate the fact it's going to be an early morning game.
Yeah, I wish, man, I like those night games early in the year. I'm not going to lie to you. I love night games when it, you know, I love Saturday night. One thing I have long days on Friday, really late nights on Friday night with my high school show. Don't get home until well after midnight. It's nice to be able to get up, have my Saturday morning free, and, But this Saturday morning, I'll be up bright early, and we'll all be at the stadium, you know, for breakfast. So you play them when you play them, and it's going to be an 11 o'clock game. I guess the good news, the flip side of that is the game wraps up probably around 2:30, 2:15, 2:30, and then you got the rest of your Saturday ahead of you. So that's the way we'll have to look at it.
Well, optimistically, that's the way I'm looking at it and stuff like that. And I, too, I'm also looking forward to getting that 2026 calendar that Daniel Moore. I'm looking forward to getting that. You know, I just ordered mine about a week or so.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I wonder how it's going to look. It's still probably going to be the coach. They're going to have Coach DeBoer on it, you know.
Do what now?
Like for the 2026, that Daniel Moore calendar by Alabama football, are they going to have they still going to have Coach Saban on there? Or they going to have Coach DeBoer on there?
I have no idea. I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know what the 12 pictures will be. I know they'll be great, but I couldn't tell you, Super Joe. I don't know who will be on that calendar.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, but, I mean, how we still looking at recruiting?
Well, looking really good. I mean, the class for football is pretty much wrapped up. I mean, they might still add a couple players, but they basically got their class put together. Now you just got to hang on to them and sign them in December. But they got a really strong class.
Okay. Well, all right then. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm telling it all, Joe. But I still believe. You know, I believe like this. You know, I believe it that you know we was on our toes. You know, we were really on P's and Q's. But if we could play like this every week, I still believe we got a chance of going to the playoffs. If we could play like this every week. But I'm saying, you know, we might have a loss or two, you know, but I'm still counting on Joe. I still got faith in the top. I'm ride or die, either whether they win or losing. So I'm gonna face it like this. You know, it's gonna be a competitive football season. And you know, like Mississippi State beating Arizona State 8-8. That was something to think about.
No, you're right, man. Like we've talked about, it's a week-to-week endeavor, and you're a great fan. You're with them win or lose. You're always supportive, and you're one of the best, Super Joe.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And I'll tell you one thing about it, though. Who keeps up with recruiting Ben? Anybody? Our buddy, Rodney Orr.
Yep.
I don't know. I can't keep pace with that man at all.
He's the best. He really is.
Oh.
Thank you, partner.
Take care, partner.
All right, good talk to you. We're going to try to squeeze Bryce in real quick before we hit the break. Bryce, got just a little bit of time, maybe about a minute. How are you, man?
I'm doing fine. You said we got a basketball recruit?
Yeah, just got a basketball recruit, really high profile, top 30, you know, national player, and a guy that compares himself to Brandon Miller. He's got that skill set. He's about 6'8". He's a guard, and his name is Chris Washington Jr., and yeah, he's a big time talent.
Who's he out of?
He is a player out of Providence Christian Academy in Tennessee. So not only is he comparing himself to Brandon Miller, he's from the same state.
Well, that's good. But where do they set these lines at, Gary? That just seems like a big old line.
Well, like we were saying earlier, listen, the lines are set based on the public perception to try to get equal play on each side. So it's a reactionary society. Last week, that Monroe line, probably if Alabama had gone down and thumped Florida State, I bet you that line would have been 45 to 48 points. But they set it around 38 and dropped to 36.5. Now Alabama went 73-0. So to get some people to play on the Wisconsin side of it, they got to boost the lineup. You know, if Alabama had been let's say Alabama had won 31-10, that line probably would be maybe 15 or 16 points. But now it's up around 20 because the perception now is that Alabama's back and a lot of people are going to want to bet on Alabama. So they adjust that line based on their, you know, trying to get equal amount of play on each side. So the perception is really what drives the line. So, yeah, it's a little bit high. I would not, you know, I don't think Alabama should be a 20-point favorite. So,
right.
But I didn't think they should be. I thought they should have been about a 48-point favorite last week. So sometimes the lines, you know, can be a little bit off.
Well, all I know, I'm not going to start drinking the Kool-Aid again until after Athens trip.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, I that was a great night the other night, but that's not a barometer for what's ahead for Alabama. You know, you're going to have to do it in the SEC, and you're going to have to do it every week, and you're going to have to be able to win a big game and then come back and win the next week. So, you know, that'll be a challenge. One other note on Chris Washington Jr., because he is out of Tennessee, but again, all these guys travel around Providence Christian Academy. He's originally from Gainesville, Florida, so he's originally from Gator Country, but he's in Tennessee now. Hey, man, got to run, Bryce. Thanks, buddy.
You pick it. Thanks.
Appreciate you. All right, 10:32, we'll be back with Casey Smith on golf. We got a loaded show with Casey coming up.
That's leafilter.com/country for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Back into the Gary Harris Show. It's 10:36, so we're running a little bit behind, but that's okay. We got plenty of time for Casey Smith on golf, and always a pleasure to have Casey. And a great segment this morning. We got a lot of stuff stacked up in the golf world. Good morning, Casey. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Gary. Hope you're doing well.
Doing really well. Let's start with the amateur version of the Ryder Cup, the Walker Cup. United States versus the Great Britain versus the GBI and the Americans. Hopefully it's a forerunner of the Ryder Cup. Get the victory over the weekend, Casey.
Yes, I mean, it's the fifth straight win for the U.S. Team. Won 17-9, which is a big-time whipping. The first team to reach 13.5 points is the winner. And it was at the favorite course I've ever played, Cypress Point. Got a really sunny day, which is about as good as it gets anywhere, probably maybe the best in America weather. But it's sunny on the Monterey Peninsula. The fog rolled in late. The match was really done at that point. You know, the Mason Howell, the amateur champion from Thomasville, Georgia, he had a great day. Jackson Coven, the superstar from Auburn, he is going to be a phenomenal professional golfer. I mean, he has got all the right stuff. He was dominant. Stuart Hegestad, the five-time Walker Cupper, who's a mid-am who works in finance. I mean, he actually made the putt to win, to solidify the win. And, you know, it's just real domination. It was a pretty cool week out there. Ian Poulter's son made a hole-in-one, or he made an eagle and his first hole-in-one. I saw where the Howell kid, you know, hold out for an eagle on 17, made an albatross during the week. Really, that's just one of the best places. I think the best golf course where land meets sea anywhere in the world. And a big win for Team USA. And they actually go, they usually play it every 2 years, but to try to get it on even years for world amateur events, they're playing next year at Lahinch in Ireland. So it's going to go back to a 1 year, and then it goes 2 years, comes to Bandon Dunes in the States in 2028. But the U.S. has been dominant in this. Hopefully it's a thing to come for the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, Roy McIlroy certainly rounding into form for the Ryder Cup. Huge eagle on 18 to force a playoff and come back and win his second Irish Open.
Yeah, I mean, what a year. AT&T, Pebble Beach, the Players' Championship, the Masters, the Career Grand Slam, and the second Irish Open. He has had a phenomenal year. He brought out all four major championships yesterday and wore a green jacket to the Irish Open to give the fans a look. I thought, what a flex. He makes the putt on 12 that circled the hole and hung on the lip and falls in. Most people that saw the highlights, they didn't really show that. That putt hung on the lip 2 seconds. He was blown away that it went in. And when you look back, it gave him a chance to make a 40-foot eagle, 30-foot eagle putt on 18 to force a playoff. And as soon as he made that, I mean, that's a Tiger Woods roar. It's one of the loudest things I've heard. I was watching it. And then, you know, I knew that he was going to win the playoff then, sort of forced the opponent into hitting a really bad shot, second shot. He goes on to win. Second Irish Open in front of the home crowd. Place went nuts. I think they're probably still asleep over in Ireland, knowing how they act. So big win for Rory. And, yes, we're seeing him round into form for the Ryder Cup. And then they have their really, you know, big championship this week on the European Tour, the BMW PGA. And they'll have all of their team in that event. I already saw them practicing on the range this morning. So this Ryder Cup is shaping up to be an absolute war.
And the American team gets ready with the PGA Tour fall season kickoff and all the Ryder Cup players coming together because, Casey, I think that's what Keegan brings to this captaincy that he has is he wants to, you know, this is golf, but I think he wants to match the passion, the intensity, the gamesmanship, if you will, of this European team. And he feels like he can bring that to the American team. And they've kind of buckered, they've got kind of bucker mentality themselves this year. So this next couple of weeks is really important, right, in terms of how you play in that Ryder Cup. The preparation is important.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. He is showing what it really a real captain leader is like. In the past, they've given these guys options. Even Bryson DeChambeau, who's not in the field, is on site this week, going to be at all the meetings and at night. So that tells you a lot about what Keegan's bringing together. The Pro Tour Championship in Napa is usually the fall season kickoff. Well, it's usually an easy way into. It's a week where they usually drink more wine there in wine country and eat well. And this is more of a, you know, preparation week for those guys specifically, which will only make the rest of the field buzz a little bit because you got your best players to the U.S. over there, along with a lot of our guys. We got, like I just mentioned, Jackson Coven. He's going from the Walker Cup to there. Pat Gazire's in the field. Trey Mullinax's in the field. Davis Riley in the field. Birmingham's Gordon Sargent in the field. Justin Thomas, obviously, in the field. Davis Thompson in the field. So got a lot of guys to keep an eye on, and some of those guys, Trey and Patton, you know, Frankie Zappan, who played at Bama one time, they all need to have a really good start to their fall season. You're trying to sprint to get back into that top 100 now and to earn status if you're not there. So a big, it's really big fall for everyone, Ryder Cup or not. If you're in the field, you're playing for your job. If you're in the field as a Ryder Cup player, you're playing, you know, to get yourself ready for the biggest event of the year.
Yeah, that's what makes it so neat. You know, a Ryder Cup on American soil, like you said, fall swing's so important for guys who don't have the type of status that Ryder Cup players have. But then you add in the Ryder Cup players trying to play to be sharp for the Ryder Cup, but also it's a tournament. It's a chance to, you know, to win a tour event. So a lot of juice for this event, Casey.
Yeah, and it's really the only event in September, an individual event, because the Ryder Cup's the only other event. And then they really pick back up the fall season after the Ryder Cup, October 2nd through 5th, and runs to the end of, you know, November. So this is their chance to come out, get ready, and it's a great event. I would expect to see some of our guys play good. I sort of really like Justin Thomas potentially this week to win.
Oh, wow. That'd be awesome.
Look at some stuff. I really think he could win this week. So we'll see what happens next Monday. But I think you're going to see those guys elevating each other's play. I'm sure they're very inspired after watching that yesterday. You know, those Walker Cup guys were have to be. They were inspiring me, and I'm sitting at home, and I'm not getting to play in the Ryder Cup. So I'm with you. This is, we're tuning this thing up with the BMW PGA this week for the European team, and the PGA Tour players kicking off over here. They're getting this thing amped up. It'll be pandemonium in New York in a couple of weeks.
And an interesting tidbit, Casey, you're such a golf enthusiast and player and, you know, professional the whole bit. But it's after the Ryder Cup, for people that love golf, of course, I lived in Jackson, Mississippi for a while, so, you know, I'm gonna be, you're always partial to somewhere where you live. But that Sanderson Farms Championship that comes up in early October, past the Ryder Cup, it's not going to have an elite field, but the Country Club of Jackson is a beautiful little golf course. You know, old school Southern Country Club golf course. You'll have a lot of young pros there. You'll see some of the really great players in the future that'll be playing there. So it's just a chance. I say that for people that are listening that, you know, it's during football season. It's an easy drive. That'd be a tour. If you've never been to a tour event, that Sanderson Farms Championship is something you might want to take a look at.
I would agree completely. Short drive from Tuscaloosa. Go to one of the weekday rounds to avoid your Saturday, or go to a Sunday round. You'll be able to watch a lot of great players, champions. I mean, and like you said, some of these guys who played on the Walker Cup team will be there. Out, you know, with the way it's set up now, you're going to have more. You're going to have a lot of players in there battling for a job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're making it harder to keep your job out there, so you're going to see a little bit of an elevated field. And you know, Trey Mullinax is one there.
They could all use their support. They're in the field, got Bama people in the field. Go over there and cheer for them. Pat Gesire, same thing. Go over there and cheer for them and watch them. You'll get to watch them as close as you'll ever watch anyone in tour golf. Get to really watch people play golf from the ropes and not have 50 people deep if you go to the
Masters. That's right.
Mm-hmm. 1,000 people deep, you know?
You can move around. You can follow the player you want to follow, kind of unencumbered. And it is a beautifully manicured golf course. It really is.
That's right. That's right.
All right, Casey, UA men's golf. You know, we talked with JC Will often. I had him on a couple weeks ago about the Ryder Cup. He is very optimistic about his team. They had a good team last year. And, you know, listen, it is what it is. But ran into just an awful regional draw out there in Lake Tahoe, and the weather was brutal, and they got the worst of it. And, you know, season ended in a disappointing fashion after the great run in the SEC tournament, heartbreaking loss, I think it was to Texas A&M, and maybe the semifinals. But he feels like this is a team that that has a chance, you know, to get back to the level which he established here, which is a national championship caliber program. What do you know about this upcoming team and, you know, kicking it off at that beautiful tournament, the Folds of Honor? And what do you feel like this UA men's team has a chance to do in the fall? And then, of course, parlay that into the spring.
Yeah, I mean, Dominic Clemens is the defending champion of this tournament, and he played on the Walker Cup team for the Europe, you know, GB&I yesterday. He is not going to make the event. I thought he might. They released the lineup. They've got a great team. I agree with him. I think when you get him back, which will be the next tournament, from there on, you should have that full team without really any of those guys going to turn pro till the end of the year, as it happened during Dunlap's year. So, yeah, I mean, I think they've got a chance to have a much better team. I would say, you know, their goal is definitely to make match play, at the NCAAs, which means you make the Final Eight. From there, you just don't know. But I expect a much improved year. And yeah, I'm glad he feels that way. It sure looks like that from the roster.
It does. I'm with you. I you know, and like you pointed out with the great, great player that Auburn has, you know, that this is a rivalry. And, you know, they spur each other on. And the success that Alabama had with a couple national championships, came close to a couple more. Now Auburn's a national championship power program. I think that motivated Auburn, you know, when Alabama.
Well, I would add this. There's something good going on, you can tell, because Mason Howell, the U.S. Amateur champion, both of his parents went to Georgia, and he's from Thomasville, Georgia, which is not a, you know, it's 4 or 5 hours from Athens. Mm-hmm. But he said that Alabama really was the runner-up in a close margin because of that facility. And I heard him say that in an interview now twice. So that tells you, if that guy like that was thinking about that, given all of his family ties, like his mom played at Georgia in some sport, and, you know, they're deep ties there. They've had football season tickets all their life. So lots of opportunities to fall in love with a great golf program as well that produces great talent on tour. He has, for him to say something like that, you can tell that they're going to have a really good run in recruiting, because if it made him think that, people without allegiance to somewhere, they're going to probably come to Alabama. He was, you know, oohing and aahing over that facility, which is what, you know, should be at that
$7 million mark.
So hopefully that's going to be an advantage for years to come for Alabama men's and women's golf.
Casey Smith on golf transitions to Casey Smith on football, as I've been talking about all morning. That was a good tonic for Alabama this past Saturday night against Monroe.
Oh, my gosh. You know, that's what I thought we would look like when we played Florida State. Three of our most notable players out, Keenan, Jam Miller, Ryan Williams, and they looked like that. Hopefully that carries over the rest of the year. I was really impressed with Key Russell as well. He spent, good Lord, he looked just like he did in high school tape. He can flat out spin it. And I know he's the third guy, but I was impressed with him. Both those quarterbacks, all three quarterbacks play well. 73-0 says a lot. But it's really, don't let off the gas. They got to go play like that. Keep it loose. Let it rip. And they were finishing plays. You know, it wasn't about all of the people losing their minds. It wasn't about anything other than effort. And effort takes no talent. And they play with a lot of effort. So love what I saw. Be hard not to like what you saw. And now you got to get ready for an early AM kickoff, which has always been, you know, with college kids, you never know what you're going to get. So a really good true test Saturday to see if you can sustain that type of effort and intensity and pride and discipline and all that.
Yep. We'll find out on Saturday. Hey, thanks a lot, Casey.
Thanks, Gary.
All right, 10:50 here on the Gary Harris Show. Lunch is right around the corner, and why not try my friends at Who's Q and Brew, Highway 82 in the Northridge Center in Tuscaloosa. Lunch specials daily, and boy, the best barbecue in town. And the ribs, to me, now the ribs are on special on Wednesday, and you can't beat the specials. You get your drink, two sides included, but the ribs are good any day. But just kind of pointing that out, if you want to try the ribs Wednesday, you get a great bargain, $12. Ribs, two sides, and a drink at Who's Q and Brew in Tuscaloosa. We'll come back, and we're going to play that Derrick Henry sound. I'm so disappointed. Not disappointed. I mean, we didn't get to Kalen DeBoer, but that's okay. It shows you the show's moving along, but we are going to play Derrick Henry. It's a short clip, man, and he just, what a stand-up guy. We'll have that for you next here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC.
Of the game, we'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is sponsored by DanielMoreArt.com. We'll talk to Martin Houston. We'll talk to Drew DeArmond, and we'll take your phone calls starting at 2 p.m. on the Monday edition of the game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
It's Monday from 7 to 8 Central on Tide100.9.com and TiderInsider.com and all your social media platforms for Inside the Trenches.
If you haven't checked out Who's Q and Brew already, it's time you did so. Tuscaloosa's best barbecue with lunch specials daily and night specials Monday through Thursday. We have a full bar featuring a new cocktail and wine menu, 16 draft beers, and $5 bushwhackers, and we have 17 TVs so you can watch all the big games. New food items include baby back ribs, house-made queso, sweet vinaigrette dressing.
Skechers' newest Apple AirTag compatible sneakers at Skechers.com, a Skechers store near you, or wherever kids' shoes are sold. Apple AirTag sold separately.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine today with a warm afternoon, the high 84. Clear tonight, the low 64. The weather stays dry tomorrow and Wednesday. The sky's sunny both days. Highs in the mid to upper 80s between 85 and 88. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Need to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Then subscribe to our YouTube channel for exclusive content on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:55. Did not get to the Kalen DeBoer audio from Saturday night. Just didn't have time. He's coming up, though, today at noon. Coordinators, 11:30. Derrick Henry last night, we talked about his fabulous performance, one of the best to ever do it. A true iconic running back, future Hall of Famer, first ballot. But a fumble late in that game when the Ravens were up 8, led to a touchdown that got the Bills to within 2. Yeah, you know, I mean, he's still played incredible, but he met with the media after the game and had this to say about his fumble. He said, put it on me.
Where it seemed like the first three quarters you guys were cruising in and feel like a big rhythm, and then in the fourth quarter it seemed like they were kind of a little out of sync there.
Well, first of all, I gotta take care of the ball, tell my teammates at the game, but it's also me. I own it, like a man. Again, so I was taking care of the ball since we got back. Big and special in my room and running back, taking care of the football, keeping it high and tight. Got like a days ago, and they made it funny, but I put this ball on me. If I take care of the ball, probably could be a different situation.
There you have it. You know, it wasn't on him, but that play was a. It marred what was otherwise an incredible performance and just an epic collapse by the Ravens. Up 15 with less than 5 to play, and they lose the game in regulation, 41-40. That video and audio was courtesy of the Baltimore Banner, by the way. All right, that's going to close it out for the show. Press conference day, as I said, we'll have those comments from DeBoer and the coordinators. You know, I know Wyatt will have it on his show. Fowler will have it. Kristen Miller may get to it. I know Kristen Miller always does his analysis of Alabama's game from the week before, and you know, a lot more positive analysis this week than last week, that's for sure. So, all right, again, congratulations to Chase. Life-changing moment over the weekend, and look forward to the Miller's Edge coming up at 11, and Wyatt Fulton's College Football Show at 1. Ryan Fowler with the game from 2 until 6. I'll be on TV tonight with your local sports, talking Bama football at on WVUA 23. And then back here tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of the Gary Harris Show at 9 a.m. Have a great day, everybody.